Pray with me. Lord, we desire you in our lives. We desire you to lead us in every step. I pray that as we open your word this morning, you will help us to know more what that means. We give you this time. I pray the words spoken be yours. I pray that you would open our ears and our hearts. Draw us into you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Last week we looked at the prayer of asking God to search us, to bring out those things that maybe we don't even know. I bet you've all got closets in your house that you don't even know what's in there. You think you know, but you don't know what's in there. And sometimes we got to clean that out. And that's that prayer. Search me, Lord. Show me what's in me that's not like you. This morning we're going to be looking at lead me. Of praying for God to lead us. We all desire, once we become Christians, to have God's leading in our life, to show us what path to go on. But I'm not sure if we truly grasp how much leading God wants to do for our benefit. Turn with me to Psalms 25. Psalms 25. I'm going to start reading at verse 1. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Psalm 25, verse 1. O Lord, I give you my life. I give my life to you. I trust in you, O God. Do not let me be disgraced, or my enemies rejoice in my defeat. Verse 3. No one who trusts in you will ever be disgraced. But disgrace comes to those who try to deceive others. Verse 4, show me the right path, O Lord. Point me on the road for following you. Verse 5, lead me by your truth and teach me. For you are the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you. Think about with me this concept of us asking God to lead us. I think we like the big umbrella of God lead me, and then we go about our daily lives and we're going to take care of it and hope I'm under this umbrella. Because what God wants is for us to have a relationship, a connection that's not daily, that's not hourly, that is minute by minute. But we have a challenge. The challenge for us, when we boil this down, and I don't want to oversimplify it, but I don't want to overcomplicate it. Really, there's two of you living inside of this. There's two of you. One is your spirit. The moment that you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit cleanses you, and that spirit is redeemed. Okay? It's pure. It's holy. It's the reason the Holy Spirit can come into your spirit, because it's been purified. It's all been done. At the point that I accepted Christ, it's clean. The other side of you is your human nature. That's the part where it's always looking to satisfy the human desire. Let me see if I can illustrate this for you. I have a magnet. The magnet is you, okay? You know, magnets have two sides, a positive and a negative. Let's say one side is your spirit. It is the side of you that seeks to be led by God. The other side, your human nature, wants nothing to do with God. And what Paul tells us is you're in the process of dying to self and following your spirit. So, in this dichotomy that is us, let's introduce God. Your spirit is immediately drawn and connected. That's the part where God can lead you. Okay? Now, if we can stay connected and focused on our spirit side, the side that God's redeemed, following God is no big deal. Then there's this other side. You cannot get your human spirit to align with your Holy Spirit. It won't work. The spirit side of you that God has redeemed, He can lead that. It's this human side that, hard as you try, you can never get that to line up with God's will. You got that? We try. A lot of people try. They even begin to say things like, well, this is what God wants. And whatever that is that they say that God wants, if it doesn't line up with this, it's just human garbage. And there's a lot of human garbage going around right now where people say, I was made this way. No, you weren't. You're listening to the human side, and the spirit hasn't been redeemed. If we are going to allow God to lead us, there's four things I want to give you this morning that have to come into play so that we are more focused on our spirit that God has redeemed than our human nature, which we are been told we should be in the process of dying to that. The first is, we have to trust God's judgment. We have to trust God's judgment. Psalms 25, verse 1. O Lord, I give my life to you. I trust in you. We all like to say that, but how many times do you not believe that? How many times do you not believe that? This side of you believes that, no problem. I give you my life. I trust you. This side, stuff happens and you go, God, how could you do that? How could this happen if I'm trusting you? I heard the story of Vince Birmingham. He was the leader of a mission into the Sudan area. He was involved in a serious car accident, so much so that he was in a coma. He spent several days in the hospital, and when he came to, he asked, what happened? He's confused. He doesn't know where he is. What's going on? What happened? The nurse comes to him and says, just rest right now. You've been in an accident. His reply coming out of the spirit side where he's died to his human self as much as possible. His response was, "Ma'am, there are no accidents. This is God's leading." Now, I don't know any of us who want some of the trials that we endure. But God has no accidents. And what we can trust, if he leads you into something, he will use it and make you more like him going through it. The second thing, we have to learn to let go of our distractions. Galatians 5:1 says, "So Christ has truly set us free, now making sure that you stay free and don't get tangled up in the slavery of the law." Satan wants you to listen to your human nature. Every day, every moment, he wants you to listen to your human nature. He wants you to satisfy it. He will tell you that you deserve it. What God wants for us is to not listen to the distractions. I heard the story of one of my favorite baseball players, Yogi Berra. Any Yogi Berra fans in here? If you don't know Yogi Berra, he was a tremendous baseball player. Tremendous baseball player. But the other side of him, the more famous side of him, is he never stopped talking. And some of the things that he said, after church, look up some Yogi Berra quotes if you want some laughs. Imagine this, it's the World Series. Yogi Berra is behind the plate, playing for the Yankees. Hank Aaron comes to the plate for the Milwaukee Braves, and Yogi is trying to distract him like he did with every single batter on the opposing team that ever walked up to the plate. He looks at this great home run hitter, Hank Aaron, and he says, "Hank, you're holding your bat the wrong way. You're supposed to be holding it so you can read the label." Hank pays him no attention. The next pitch, Hank hits it out of the park. He rounds the bases, and when he gets back to Yogi, he looks at Yogi and says, "I didn't come up here to read." Satan wants you to be distracted by the world, by the things that you need, by the horrible circumstances that you find yourself in. Whatever it is, he wants you distracted. Because if Satan can keep you focused on the human side, you can't ever connect. I'll explain to y'all why that happens. The outside of this magnet is negative, the inside's positive. So I can't ever get that to connect. You will never be able to get your human spirit if you are focused on it and trying to satisfy it to connect with God's will. That's why Paul says you've got to die to yourself. All those human desires, they're not worth feeling. They're not worth the trouble it takes. So if we're going to allow God to lead us, we have to get rid of the distractions. Number three, you must develop your God-given talent. You must develop your God-given talent. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6 says, This is why I remind you to fan the flames of spiritual gifts God gave you when I laid hands on you. Verse 7. For God has given us the power, the spirit. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the power of love and self-discipline. Every single person who has ever accepted Christ is promised a spiritual gift. Period. Okay? You have a spiritual gift. First of all, if you don't know what it is, it might be a good idea to find out. Okay? It might be a good idea to find out. Think of some of the great athletes in the world. They found out what their talent was and they developed it. They don't get to a professional level without developing their talent. You have a spiritual gift. You may have more than one, but you have one for sure. God's promised that. What is it and what are you doing with it? He didn't give it to you to put aside and save. From the moment that I can remember, my mother and my grandfather both instilled in me that when you buy a new car, it comes with these nice floor mats. Okay? Used to. You got to pay extra for them now. Comes with these nice floor mats. The thing they both did immediately was went out and bought cheap floor mats to go over the top of the nice floor mats. Because we're saving them. For what? What are we saving it for? Y'all, I promise y'all, I was in my 40s when it hit me one day. We bought a car and I looked at those floor mats and I like, why am I going to cover those up? Who am I saving them for? Your spiritual gift needs to be used and God wants to lead you to use it. There's no reason to save it. Take the old floor mats out and throw them away. Use your spiritual gift to glorify God and develop it. You can get better at it. Whatever it is, God wants to lead you, not on a monthly basis, not on a yearly basis, on a daily basis. God wants you to use that gift to glorify Him. It's the only reason you're here. The only reason they put those floor mats in that car is for you to put your feet on them. Use them. God wants you to use your gift. The fourth thing is, you must allow the Spirit to lead you. You must allow the Spirit to lead you. Here's the challenge for us. We live in a busy world. Our schedules are full, even when they're not. And we don't have time to get off schedule. Sometimes God wants you off schedule. In fact, sometimes God wants you to throw away your schedule. I've said it before, the biggest challenge in following Christ and being the examples that He wants us to be to the world is that we have to be willing to be inconvenienced. We have to be willing to care more about this side than this side. We have to be willing to allow God to lead us into situations that are going to take some time. They might even get us dirty. They might not be that much fun. But God wants to lead us and use us. I said in Sunday school this morning, and I really can't say it too much because we have to wrap our head around this. God's economy is so much different than the world's. That whatever it is you are trying to get, whatever it is, love, friendship, wealth, whatever, the more you try to get it, most of the time, the further away it gets from you. If you want love, if you want friendship, stop trying to get it and start giving it. If you start giving love, you'll get more than you ever want. And when we look at the Spirit leading us, there are times when there are things that are going to be outside of our comfort, outside of our realm. They may even make you late to work. But maybe that's what God wants. It may change your life and somebody else's. We have to be willing to go outside of the norm, because God does not work, or God does not occupy the norm most of the time. God works in the supernatural. God works in those places where you go, I never saw that coming. How many times have you said that? I never saw that coming. If we want to be led by God, if we want to be closer to God, we have to be willing to allow God to use us, not on a every once in a while basis, but an every minute basis. You see, God wants you, every one of us, every one of yous, to impact somebody's life today. Today. And if we are willing, He will lead us to do things we never imagined, and will impact the world around us in ways we never thought about. But as long as we seek our human nature, you're never going to get that to connect. When we say, God, lead me, when we go before God and say, search me, get rid of all the things that offend you, and lead me, the connection is really strong and almost impossible to break. Pray with me. Father, I ask that you examine our hearts, search us, point out in us the things that offend you, and lead us today, Lord. As we get up and leave this room, lead us to glorify you. Lead us to bring honor to your name. Lead us to take the light of your love to a dark world. Father, we want to glorify you with our lives. Take us from this room now and use us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.